Okay, I've just completed 2 Samuel chapter 19, and of course, I've already prayed for the anointing on the seventh part of receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit. So what that's what we're going to do now is part seven. And what you people are learning is not only the Bible, but you're learning the lessons of how to experience life. By learning, I mean, I'm talking about the life of God. You're not experiencing the life of God. That is something quite different than learning about experiencing the life, how to live life. You're not really experiencing that until you're experiencing it. You're just hearing about it now. So don't think that by your hearing how to experience the life of God that you are experiencing it. You can read a menu in a restaurant, but you're not really, if you lay the menu down and walk out of the restaurant, you didn't experience the food. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to live your life according to the lessons that you're learning here in order to be able to say that you are experiencing the discipline of the Holy Spirit. You're experiencing life, because everything in the universe is being disciplined by the Holy Spirit, either negatively or positively. And if you're experiencing it negatively, and you reject the negativism of it, then you're not going to receive any of the positive results of experiencing the discipline, the negative part that is supposed to, that will, if you receive it, cause you to have life. The positive experience of life, which is the inward anointing of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes.
Okay, so just because you know the Bible doesn't mean that you're living the Bible. Just because you're learning now about life doesn't mean that you have it, because people that don't have life can hear these things, these marvelous things. And yet, if they don't discipline themselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, if they don't discipline themselves to walk in life, you still don't have it. So listening to these messages is nothing if you're not going to apply, if you're not going to live the lessons. And if you don't live the lessons, well, be sure that I just want to make sure that you know that you will be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, either temporarily or on a long-time basis. And if you still reject the discipline of the Holy Spirit, you will be destroyed, because this is a promise from the Lord, and His promises are true. His word is true. His promises were incorporated within the word are true. So you have to make up your mind to take life or death. Now, hearing about life and death doesn't mean that you have each one. You have to choose. There's a aspect, or there is a part of your soul that is the will. And so you have to will to, your will chooses either life or death. Now, hearing about it again doesn't mean that you have it, any more than if you watch the motion picture about John Dillinger, that you're John Dillinger. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're not going to live that life, right?
Right.
Okay, so you're hearing about life and how to live it, and so you have to make up your mind, up your will, to either live according to these messages or to not do it. You either choose life in the kingdom of heaven, here on earth and in the kingdom of heaven, or you choose death here on earth and immortal death, eternal death, because our spirit, our soul, is going to go on forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. And it's up to you to choose to receive. That's what this is about, receiving, to receive the discipline of the Holy Spirit. In other words, to receive life, because the Holy Spirit is life. And if you receive the Holy Spirit's instruction and do live according to life, then you have it. But you must do it every day. You must receive the discipline of the Holy Spirit every day, which means that your spirit, that your unruly spirit is mortified. Your self is mortified. Unruly spirit, self. It's all the same thing, your flesh, the old man, and all the other aspects of the old man. Temper, anger against God, anger against doing the right thing when you've been told over and over and over again that you hang on to your opinions and your ideas and your philosophies. And you just say, I've always been a stubborn person, and therefore I don't care what the Lord says, I'm going to remain stubborn. And you're happy with that here, in this temporary life of yours. But you'll be very sorry and about it and angry with yourself eternally, if you cling to that which is death and reject the instructions or the discipline of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord is just going to keep it up. If you're stubborn, let me tell you something. The Lord is far more stubborn than you are. He's not going to change his ways for you, or his penalties, or his blessings. Don't deceive yourself. God is not mocked whatsoever. Everything that you sow, you're going to reap. You may think it's funny because you're not bright, so you'll just put on an attitude about that and just go on in your old merry way. But there will be a day of reckoning. It's best to do what God says, because he knows best. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, let's go with part 7. Receiving, in other words, living. Allowing the Lord to give you to the discipline of the Holy Spirit to receive what he wants you to have. And love it. Just love it. Okay? The Lord, love him or leave him. Okay? Okay, go ahead.
The universality or the scope of the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
I say universality, but in the dictionary it says universality. You know, I kind of put a little curve on it, a little English. Okay, universality. Okay, read that again.
The universality or the scope of the discipline of the Holy Spirit. The universality of the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
So everything has a scope. You know, you're looking at it through a microscope, and you scope in on, say, a certain star or a planet. Well, the scope or the view or the complete universality of the Holy Spirit is like scoping out everything. Okay, in other words, I'm saying that the discipline of the Holy Spirit to the entire universe is disciplined by the Holy Spirit. The sun goes up at a certain time, you can bank on it. And the moon is a full moon, quarter moon, just so you can predict exactly what that's going to be, because it's so disciplined. The tide, you can tell when the tide's coming in, exactly. You can tell all these different things because of the discipline of the Holy Spirit, that they receive all these different planets. Now, in the last days, the Lord says that he's going to take the discipline away from all these different elements in the universe, the scope of things, and things are going to go crazy in the universe because the Lord's going to let them do whatever the devil wants them to do. The moon is going to turn to blood, amen?
Amen.
Stars are going to fall out of the heavens. Hail's going to come down like 100-pound balls of hail. And they'll hurt. And if one of them hits you, you probably won't ever know it. You can't run inside the house, or in a tornado shelter, because if you've ever seen a crater come down, they were showing that on a special where the crater goes down, it makes huge canyons. So there's no hiding or attempt. Again, it is worthless to even attempt to try to hide from the wrath of God. But because of the fact that humanity is so unruly and so undisciplined and so unwilling to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, the Lord is going to turn the universe loose on them. Isn't that going to be fun? Okay, then what?
The discipline of the Holy Spirit is universal. Its dimensions are equal to those of the entire universe. All that is in the universe is included in this universality or scope.
Yeah, so the God's got everything under control, except us. So we have to receive it. He gives us a free will to be able to receive life and live it instead of just hearing about it. Or rejecting it, just hear about it and say, oh, that was nice. And then go on and do the same thing you always do, which most people do. Oh, we read the Bible, we pray, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, keep going.
Therefore, everything that comes to us, including people, things, and happenings, either great or small, just happens to be the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
Right, so all things that are happening, the Lord says, there's a purpose for it. Okay, keep going.
We must believe that nothing a Christian encounters is what the people of the world call coincidence or luck. But
a chance. Oh, just by chance. Or I'm lucky. Or I'm unlucky. No, it's all the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Are you lucky you or are you unlucky you? It isn't luck. Whether it's good luck or unlucky luck, it's not. It's the discipline of the Holy Spirit is what I'm saying, okay? Right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
We must believe that nothing a Christian encounters is what the people of the world call coincidence or luck, but the arrangement and discipline of the Holy Spirit.
It's all been prearranged for you. Then what?
It is not that certain aspects, certain kinds of things, or certain matters are the discipline and arrangement of the Holy Spirit, and all others are not.
No, it's everything that you encounter every day, Christians, is the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
We must admit that in all our living, every matter is the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
You follow what the Lord says, and you're blessed. That's the discipline of the Holy Spirit. You don't do it, and you're cursed. That's the discipline of the Holy Spirit. No matter which way you go, it's the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The reason you have such a job, opportunity, is due to the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Right. If you have a good job, a good place in the house of God, it's because the pastor sees that you're disciplined by the Holy Spirit and gives you that job. Amen?
Amen.
If you're not disciplined, you don't get a good job. Then the undisciplined ones will say, he plays favorites. No, I'll go for anyone that is disciplined by the Holy Spirit. If you're that disciplined, really disciplined by the Holy Spirit, I'll put you in charge of the church in Paris, France, or, you know, New York City. You'll be, because I know you're disciplined by the Holy Spirit, and I don't have to worry about you giving the Lord a bad name. Or if you're really qualified, if I see you're disciplined by the Holy Spirit, and I see that you pay attention to what the Lord says, you can do the banking. You can build the house. You can whatever. You can do be the purchasing agent. But for somebody that is that has been given an automobile and is supposed to be a purchasing agent, they go down and buy books that are pornography, or they go to drug stores and pick up prescription drugs. They go to doctors on their own and they go and pick up prescription drugs, and it's obviously when somebody's loaded, to me anyway, I can tell. Well, then you're not disciplined by the Holy Spirit, and you should not have that job. Amen?
Amen.
So it's not that you're my favorite if you're doing that. There's some people that have good jobs that are, that, you know, they're my favorite ones to have those jobs. Amen?
Yeah.
And I know that the Lord has chosen them to do that because they're disciplined by the Holy Spirit. They love the Lord. And they love their soul. They don't want to go to hell. Okay? That's how I make my decisions. And that's how then I check with the Lord on it as well. And he said, of course, you know. I don't have to pray to the Lord to see if something is purple, you know, if I'm not colorblind. Or if it's gray. Or red, or what. If I can see somebody obedient, well, then I see that they've received the discipline of the Holy Spirit, and that they are not up and down. One day they're receiving it, and the next day they don't. Quite an easy decision to make. Amen? Or if you let somebody have money and they keep losing it all the time, then I become suspicious that maybe they're spending it on something, some contraband, something that they shouldn't have. Amen? And I'm worried about their soul, so they would destroy their own soul. So you can't trust somebody because they're not afraid of the Lord or his discipline. So they keep doing what they're doing. Or I don't let a person, because I'm a shepherd of the Lord, drive vehicles around by themselves or go around by themselves, especially if they've been caught in one circumstance or another where they're watching pornography or something, because they'll park their truck or their car someplace by themselves, if they're by themselves, and go into maybe a massage parlor, or they'll start watching pornography or doing something. And their souls are hung up on that sort of thing, and it would just take their souls to hell. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The reason that you need such people, such as brothers and sisters, is also due to the discipline of the Holy Spirit. You pray or ask God or hope that you would be healthy, but unfortunately you are weak and sometimes sickly. This also is the discipline of the Holy Spirit. You expect your business to expand so that you can render a lot more service to the Lord. But you feel it's unfortunate that you encounter so many problems that you are unable to grow at all. This also is the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
Your business cannot grow. You can't expand. Okay, so that's the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And then what?
Whether you are able to have a virtuous and prudent wife or marry the husband of your dreams depends on the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Whether or not you have a perfect home life also depends on the discipline of the Holy Spirit. You do not desire a lot of children, but you may feel that you're unfortunate only because of the fact that your children that you have are especially many of them. This also is the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Or you may wish that you had children, but unfortunately you have no children at all. This also is the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
You said, Lord, how come you give that person a lot of children, not me any. Don't question the Holy Spirit. Receive the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Because maybe you wouldn't know how to raise a child. Maybe you don't need a child to discipline you that much. You need other kind of discipline. Amen?
Amen.
And maybe you'd be too harsh with a child. Maybe you'd destroy their soul. There's a lot of maybes that are not maybes to the Lord. He knows what you would do, and so therefore he doesn't give you children. And he knows that you need to keep busy with children, because if you weren't busy with children, you'd be busy about something else that would maybe not be so good for your soul. Amen?
Amen.
So he gives you children to keep your mind occupied. Okay, then what?
Even the loss of property, mismanagement of affairs, or failure in spiritual matters are the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
Well, I told the people, I don't understand why the Lord is not disciplining you people up here on the ridge, because you're sinning. And it's amazing to me that you haven't had this property taken away from you yet. And then finally, the marshals did march on the property and take it away from you. And God weeded a lot of sinners out of this church by that act. And they lost the property because the Lord disciplined you for your sin. A lot of sins were going on up on that ridge. People weren't paying any attention to the Lord, or they weren't walking according to the discipline of the Holy Spirit. They didn't receive it. Some of the little girls up there were fornicating with little boys. Some people were doing things like the worldly lesbians do, and homosexuals. So I didn't even know about it at the time, but I found out later. But the things I did know about it were certainly enough for the Lord to take that property away. And he did. And praise the Lord for it. Amen?
Yeah.
Thank God for the discipline of the Holy Spirit. People needed to be wised up. They needed to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. And they wouldn't receive it. And they're hearing it now. And I pray that everyone will hear it and receive it. Amen?
Amen.
And begin walking according to the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And then what?
You're going to receive discipline of the Holy Spirit. If you mismanage, you're going to lose your property if you don't manage your affairs properly.
And if you don't manage your life properly, if you don't let the Lord manage it for you. And you did. And now the Lord has given it back. Take heed that you don't lose it again. And this time, your life, your soul. Okay? Fear. Fear, amen?
Amen.
That's the whole duty of man, is fear the Lord. Amen. And keep his commandments, amen?
Amen.
Don't think you're going to get by with it, that you're going to live a carefree, careless life. That's not going to happen. You're going to be disciplined. The sun, the moon, the stars, everything is disciplined, even the fish. The fish know when to go up the stream to spawn every year. You're supposed to be sowing the seeds also into the world, the Word of God. And you're to be in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, so that you're able to do this, because you can't give to others what you yourself don't have within you. Okay, then what?
You're going to fail in your spiritual matters, and you're going to receive the discipline of the Holy Spirit if you do. We must apply the discipline of the Holy Spirit to all our living, to all of our environment. We must especially know that all those circumstances which are neither pleasant or agreeable are within the scope or the universality of the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we will definitely learn this lesson in a thorough way. The acceptance of the discipline of the Holy Spirit. If we are to accept the discipline of the Holy Spirit, we must first take note of the following points. One is to acknowledge that it is discipline.
Yeah. If you don't acknowledge that it's discipline, then how can you receive it? We have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord before we can receive Him as our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You have to receive that this is food on the table before you receive it into your body, don't you?
Yes.
Amen. So you have to receive that this is discipline before you're going to be able to receive it. Amen?
Amen.
If somebody puts something in your mouth, you have to receive it. Amen?
Amen?
If the Lord puts something in your brain, well, then you're receiving it. But if there's a like a rubber ball in there and it just keeps bouncing off, then you didn't receive the truth of the matter that this is the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Receive that this is discipline. Just as you receive that Jesus is the Lord, if you did receive that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, your Savior. If you haven't received that, well, then you're not saved. You can hear about Jesus as being the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, the resurrection of the life, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Almighty God. But if you don't receive that, then you're not saved. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to receive that this is discipline. Okay, start that section again.
Okay. The acceptance of the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, do you accept that this is discipline? That everything that I'm telling you is true?
Amen.
Okay? You don't hear many amens. There's some here that don't receive that, right? All that don't receive it say amen. Cowards. Okay, what else?
If we are to accept the discipline of the Holy Spirit, we must first take note of the following points. One is to acknowledge that it is discipline. Acknowledgement always comes before acceptance.
Yeah, we have to acknowledge that this is food before we accept it and eat it. Amen?
Amen.
We have to accept that Jesus is the Lord before we accept Him as our personal Savior. You have to acknowledge, you have to ask yourself the question, is this discipline, Lord, that you're doing? Is it why I am the way I am? That I'm living in this environment because of the way I am? If you receive it, then you're accepting it, that this is discipline and that it's right. Amen?
Amen?
And that you're not getting bitter over it because it's for your own soul. Amen?
Amen.
Make sense?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, then what?
When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we must first acknowledge that He is the Lord and Savior, that He's God. Likewise, in accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit, we must first acknowledge that all that we encounter is the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
Now, most people don't accept that. They just, oh, shucks, something happened to me. Amen?
Amen.
But they don't think of it as being the discipline of the Holy Spirit, do they?
No.
What about when I bang my thumb, you know, with a hammer when I'm nailing some? Yeah. Do you accept that? Huh?
Mm.
Or is it just, oh, shucks? Okay, come on.
I mean, whenever we encounter something in this world, we must come to the realization that it is of the Holy Spirit and acknowledge it.
So that's why if you're hurting and you hit your thumb, say, praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Don't start using profanity. All right? Like so many people do. Say, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And more than likely, the pain goes right away.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, then what?
We must come to the realization that it is of the Holy Spirit and acknowledge it, confess it, that it is as the discipline of the Holy Spirit. I have previously referred to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which says that, quote, all things work together for our good, unquote. And Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 30 states also, quote, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father?
Because your Father made it happen, amen?
Amen.
If the sparrows are falling out of the sky, who did it? The Lord, amen?
Yeah.
The bird's flying along, thinks he's going to live forever, and all of a sudden he drops dead. Right? It could happen to you. Amen?
Amen.
And then what else?
But the very hairs of your head are all numbered, unquote. These passages show that all things that come to us, even such trivial matters as one of our hairs falling out, that have been permitted and measured and done by God to work together for our spiritual benefit. Therefore, with regard to all things, we must admit that they are the discipline of the Holy Spirit. 2. We have to find out the reason. What was the purpose that if we got hit by an automobile, a person fell off of a ladder, or if we failed in business, or if all of our property was taken away from us, there's something there. We have to definitely find out what it was. What was the reason for this disciplining? Since we acknowledge that whatever comes to us in the way of disciplining of the Holy Spirit, we also must discover what's the purpose.
Yeah, why did God do it? There's a purpose for everything. Amen?
Amen.
There's a purpose for every discipline. Okay, then what?
Why are we being disciplined? What is the purpose that this discipline is happening to us? For example, the person who falls off the ladder, the person who gets hit by a car, cannot ignorantly think that since this is the discipline of the Holy Spirit, it is good enough to just praise the Lord as a man in the hospital when I was in the hospital.
Yeah, when I was in the hospital for my eyes, when I was 20 years old, there was a man that came in. It was like a prison war because I was falsely accused of receiving stolen property and running a receiving stolen property gang. Even before I was saved, I was falsely accused. And it was, I took a gun away from a couple of little children, and I had to go to work, and I put it in a drawer in my house. And these children were friends of my, their parents were very good friends of mine. And it was the 4th of July, and they were firing, I thought it was firecrackers in the backyard. I went back there, and they had a gun behind their back. I said, "What do you got behind your back?" And they told me. Finally, they showed it to me, and they said, "Where'd you get it?" And said they stole it from a house on the corner. And they said it was a policeman's house. And so, poor Ada and Fred, my friends, I thought, what am I to do? To go and turn them over to the police? Or what? So I had to go to work right away. And I said, "Give me that gun." And so they gave it to me. And I put it in a drawer at my house. And after I got home from work, here were the police there, and they arrested me. They said, "You have a gun?" I said, "Yeah." I knew these boys had said that I took it away from them. And so I went, and they put me in jail there. And I didn't have enough money at that time in my life to bail out or anything. And those people that I saved their kid's life, possibly, didn't do anything to help me at all either, because they were afraid that their kids would go to jail. Anyway, their kids did go to reform school, but I was in prison. Here they brought this, the prison ward at the General Hospital in Los Angeles. And this man came in because he had killed somebody in an automobile wreck, and he himself was really, really messed up. They had his leg in traction and his arm and his whole body. One of his legs was lifted up in the air with a cord. And he was Mexican, and he looked a lot older than me. He looked like he was about 25, 30, somewhere in there. And so I went over, and I says, "What happened to you?" And he says, "Praise the Lord." Not the Lord, the Lord. And I started laughing because I thought he was a real joker, you know. Why would anybody praise the Lord when they're all jacked up like this, you know? And really, I found out now, you know, when I look at that situation, he's praising the Lord because he was disciplined. And he's praising the Lord that he didn't die. That the Lord, he got hit by a car, or he hit somebody with a car, and he's in the hospital, and his wife would come and visit him, you know, and he's just laying there, and very patiently, because he knew very good and well what it was, and that's why he was praising the Lord. He wasn't saying, "I curse God," you know, because or anything like that. He was praising the Lord. And to me, it seemed funny because I wasn't saved. And I thought, how could anyone praise the Lord when they're jacked up like that? Well, if the Lord jacks you up, And you know why. You survey what you've done. You ask yourself, what was the purpose of me getting jacked up like this? Or the position that I'm in. Then you find out what it was, and then you'll say, praise the Lord. Amen?
He was so badly hurt in an automobile accident. I went over and I said, how did it happen? He just said, praise the Lord. It was a Mexican man. I started laughing. It was before I was saved. I was only 20 years old. I couldn't figure out how anybody could praise the Lord when they are in such terrible shape. I was ignorant to all this then, and now I'm not.
Yes. Okay, so let's bypass all that because I've already expounded on that. Now I know, like if the Lord disciplines me, that's why when I got, when I was sent to prison for false charges, I was examining myself for a year. I said, what, Lord, what is this, you know, and so on and so forth. Because, you know, we constantly are learning lessons from the Lord. He's extremely vast. And so it took experience for me to be able to know these things. Amen?
Amen.
And so I'm passing them on to you so that you don't have to go through all those things if you're smart. Amen?
Amen.
I'm the whipping boy. I go through it and then I try to pass it on to you so you don't have to. But nevertheless, you're going to be disciplined one way or the other anyway. And you are now being disciplined whether you have come to the, whether you acknowledge it or not. Okay? But you need to examine yourself. Why, Lord? And don't be angry. Just say, I praise you and thank you for it, Lord. But what am I doing wrong so I can correct it? Amen? So that the Lord can make it more enjoyable. environment for you to live in, change your life. Okay, then what else?
It's not good enough for us to just praise the Lord. If it were, we cannot reap the benefit of what we did wrong, what it is that the Holy Spirit is disciplining us for.
Right, so this Mexican, he was saying, praise the Lord, all right? Praise the Lord. So evidently, he knew what the purpose was. And then also, maybe he was praising the Lord because he was still alive. Amen. And he knew that he'd manned up because he was pretty young. 25, 30, very handsome Mexican man, well built. I really liked the guy, you know. Eventually got to know him. Okay, then what?
We must ask, why was I hit by this car? What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit in giving me such a lesson of discipline? Is it for something I did wrong? Is it that the Lord loves me and he's disciplining me?
No. What did I do wrong is more the question you should ask. Because it's for sure he doesn't discipline you without a cause. Okay, then what else?
Or is he trying to teach me something, like education? Or is he trying to break me? I must have a longing heart.
Yeah, is he trying to educate me or break me or, you know, discipline me some one way or the other? You got to figure out what it is. Then what else?
I must have a longing heart and a prayerful spirit.
I'm longing to find out what I did wrong. And I found out that I didn't do anything wrong to be in prison. I asked the Lord, show me something. Show me that I'm still saved, because this is very, very crude.
I must be quiet before the Lord, seeking him until I'm clear that it is a particular problem, something that I did wrong. I have to find out what it was, or something that I need, which caused me to be disciplined by the Lord, the Holy Spirit.
When I was in the prison, I said, Lord, give me something, some encouragement. He said, you're saved. I said, praise the Lord. That was like just two words. That was encouraging to me because I'd been searching and searching and trying to find out for a year what I did wrong to be in here and for such a long period of time. But I says, then all of a sudden that just kind of went away. And I said, something more, Lord, give me more. He says, you're going to be in heaven. I says, that's enough, praise the Lord. I'm saved and I'm going to be in heaven. And I found out that I, you know, and then I won all kinds of Muslims to the Lord, and I got into the general population of the people, and I found out I'd been just confined to the house most of the time, bringing messages and everything, and lost contact with the general public. And so in there, I was around the general public and all the different sinners and everything, and I found out, boy, I needed this, you know? You need to get out around the people, okay, and hear what they have to say. And so, because there's so many scriptures that I have to give them, and I say, you know, I know that the scriptures that I gave them and the teaching that I gave them and the rebuking that I gave them saved their lives. And many are Christians today. One of these phone calls that just came in was from Marco, who I led to the Lord in prison. And he's out now. He just recently got on about a week or two ago, a couple of weeks ago. And he's in Miami, Florida now, and he's an excellent guitar player and wants to be a part of our musical department in the church, okay?
In this way, I can learn the spiritual lesson and the pain, the practical benefit. 3. We have to confess regarding the point of the purpose to be dealt with.
Yeah, if we just try to ignore what our problem is, like some people have, you know, they're up and down, and they have a bad understanding, and they don't want to receive when they hear what's wrong with them. They just don't want to receive it. Their pride goes before their destruction, which is soon to be. Pride goes before a fall, before they're destroyed. So read that again.
We have to confess regarding the point of the purpose to be dealt with.
Yeah, if the Lord says you're doing that because you really are not concentrating on me, you don't love my word, you don't love to communicate to me, you really downright just don't want anything to do with me. Well, you don't want to receive that because you say, well, a lot of people say, well, if I didn't really love the Lord, do you think I would be here in this church? Well, yeah, because you got free rent, food, utilities, everything is paid for you. You get your food cooked for you, or your dishes washed primarily. You get all your furniture, you get vehicles, you get transportation, you get health and care, all kinds of vitamins and minerals and everything that's needed, the very best in the world, plus hospitalization. Who wouldn't want to stay here? It isn't because you love the Lord. You're here because you're a user. That could be also, amen?
Amen.
And there are many other. If you get sick, somebody comes in and takes you. Somebody will wheel you down to the doctor's office. Somebody will take you over money will be provided for you for thousands of different reasons. And you hear the gospel, which you don't care that much about. It's just that you, who wouldn't want this? There's nobody on the face of the earth that gets put up the way you do. So don't try to use that kind of philosophy or psychology on me, because I'm not going to receive your opinion or your idea. It's not, you're not going to brainwash me. I'm too strong in the spirit of the Lord. So forget about trying to tell me something like that. Receive the discipline of the Holy Spirit, or the Lord will discipline you. And you say, well, what are you going to do to me? Oh, I don't want to do anything with you. I just want to put you out of the church, and then you just do your own thing. That's what you want to do here, but you have the whole world to do that in. But this is one spot on earth where you can't do that, okay? This is where you're going to do what the Lord says. Or you've got a whole world outside this church to go and do whatever you want to do. Go out there and do it. You won't break my heart. And you won't break the Lord's heart. How could you be breaking the Lord's heart when he's the one that tells me to get you out? We're in the 11th chapter of Revelation now, you know, where we're measuring people to see if you're fitting to be in the church. And if you're not, you measure people by the Word of God to see how you line up with the Word of God. And if you don't, the Lord says, put them on the outside. with the Gentiles, with the unbelievers, so that you can get disciplined by them, because God will turn Satan loose on you out there, and then you'll think back at all the things that you had in here that you were not thankful for, and then maybe you'll crack, maybe be broken, and then on the other hand, maybe he'll just destroy you, because you're so dead set in your stubborn ways. You never can tell. I don't know what's going on in your mind exactly all the time, but I can see your daily performances. I can see when people are shaping up. I can see when they're disciplined by the Holy Spirit, because they can be used. They come to me for instruction. The ones that don't come to me for instruction, I know they don't want instruction. Those are the users. And there's the ones that the Lord can't use, and I can't dispatch them anywhere, because I don't know whether, I just know they're not coming from the Lord. They're not interested in his instructions. They're not interested in being disciplined. They don't want to work more than just whatever they want to work. Let me get this straight with you. I'm just going to do this and that and this and that, and that's it. Don't be trying to tell me to say anything else. You say that to me and you've gone too far. We're supposed to be pliable in the hands of the Lord for him to be able to use us in any way that he says. If you don't believe that I'm hearing from the Lord, then you shouldn't be in this church anyway. Go to just any old church. Go to the Vatican. Because that's where your heart is. You have the same heart as the Vaticanites. Okay, but hopefully you'll receive the discipline of the Holy Spirit and... and be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
Confess it. Yes, Lord, I did this wrong. Now I understand why you did this. It brought me down to this. Now I have to think and pray, find out what I did wrong. So we have to confess these things regarding the reason why God dealt with us.
If you're confessing it, you know what you did wrong. So now I'm going to not do that anymore. Okay, then what else?
So we have to confess these things regarding the reason why God dealt with us in this manner. What was the purpose? Once we are able to understand what the purpose of the discipline of the Holy Spirit is in dealing with us in such a way, and after we find out what the problem was, we must confess it seriously before the Lord with regard to the particular problem or the reason why it happened. Were it not for that problem, if it wasn't for something I did wrong, I would not have any need for the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Since the Holy Spirit arranged this environment for me to discipline me concerning a specific point, I must realize that it is in that specific point or reason that I have a problem before God. Either because I'm stubborn, proud, stiff-necked, or disobedient in one way or another, not willing to pay the price, or not willing to deny myself, deny self, or deny my flesh. It is either one thing or the other which must be removed or broken, dealt with or torn away, torn down, terminated. At any rate, there exists a problem. I must remember that the discipline of the Holy Spirit never causes me to suffer without a cause, a reason. Rather, it is always because there are areas within me which require dealing with, the dealing of the Holy Spirit.
Now you could say, well, are you saying that when Satan doesn't discipline anybody? Or doesn't attack people and do things to them? Yes, he does. But the Lord could stop it. He's allowing it. Amen?
Amen.
It's coming from Satan, all right. But the Lord is allowing it. And then when you've gone through it, the fire, and when you've received it, and when you confess it, and when you start, and when your will starts willing to do the will of the Lord, then the Lord will stop Satan. Do you understand? Huh?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not saying that Satan doesn't bring forth all this stuff. And the Lord has used Satan many times, all the time. But he does it in a, he just takes away his hedge around you and lets Satan have it you. And then when you receive and you begin obeying the Lord and obeying the discipline of the Holy Spirit, then the hedge comes around you again. And the Lord will not allow Satan to have you. If you love Satan so much that you live in a satanic way, then why the Lord just says, well, then here, have your master. And he opens up the he opens up his arms and lets you go. You love Satan, you love to do satanic things, so then here. Here's how much Satan loves you, and then Satan comes ripping and tearing at you. Then you say, oh my God, bring back the hedge. And then you say, and then he, you know, then he observes you to see, are you really living then according, are you receiving this as the discipline of the Holy Spirit? Well, how could it be the discipline of the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit would build a wall of fire around about you if you weren't living in a satanic way, one way or the other. If you weren't rebellious. If you weren't swapping, because of the fact you may not be a very intelligent person. Well, many people may think of you as being illiterate, that you can't read, or stupid. So therefore, in order to compensate for it, you put on an attitude, an air around people, as though you're better than they are or something. Or just to march around, you know, in a pipe dream. Well, Lord's going to maybe give you stomach trouble or some kind of a disease. God only knows what he'll allow Satan to do to you. He'll take the hedge away from you, and that way you'll say, my God, what's happening here? Why is all these things happening? You got to search it out. Amen?
Amen.
Then when you know what it is, then repent and start serving the Lord and be humble and say, I'm sorry, Father. I mean, I didn't realize it was this way. And somebody can tell you all the time, but if you don't begin receiving it, and you're constantly going to live in that environment, and it may even get worse. Some people have bypass operations, and then they have to have an aorta operation, and then they have to have their back operated on, and then they can't go to the bathroom, and then they are living in constant pain every day. Is this what you want? I think not. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, that could all end. Your mind is too much on business, worldly business. God only knows what you've got your mind on. But, you know, the Lord will put you through it until you figure it out for yourself. But you'll have to figure it out. You'll have to figure it out. And then don't do it any longer. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, continue. Let's.
The Holy Spirit had already warned us many times, perhaps, yet we disobeyed. Therefore, he has arranged such a discipline to assist his inward anointing. Hence, once we discover the purpose of the discipline of the Holy Spirit, then what? We must have a thorough confession regarding the point that has come to our attention.
Well, who do you confess it to? Yourself! Amen? I confess that this is what this is what's happening to me. Why is happening to me? So now I'm going to change this, Lord. I see what I did wrong. I see it's in your word. The word is our blueprint on how to get into the kingdom of heaven. That's why we have to read and pray. Not because it's a punishment or something. It's your light.
Amen.
To lighten the pathway to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
We must have a thorough confession regarding the point that has come to our attention that has now been brought to light.
Some people complain, I've been in the prayer room for 1 hour. And the person didn't show up for their prayer hour. Well, then be praised and thank the Lord. I get an extra hour of prayer. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, when you complain like that about it, like you've really been damaged. then I figure, what in the world's with this person? What are you doing in the church? It's you think that praying is a punishment when it's communion with the Lord. And if you think it's a punishment here, it's for sure you'd think it was a punishment in heaven. If you don't want to communicate with him here, it's unlikely that you'd want to talk to him in heaven. So why should he take you to heaven? Why should you take yourself to heaven? Why don't you just go out into the world and get disciplined some more? And then maybe taken out into eternity, into hell, and into the lake of fire. You know, that's what the Lord says, repent or perish. You know, take it, your choice. Repent or go to hell. Go to the lake of fire. That's what he's saying when he says, repent or perish. Okay, then what?
4. We must submit ourselves. After we confess our sins, we must submit through the Holy Spirit. This submission shows the Lord that we've accepted the discipline of the Holy Spirit and we understand what it's all about. After we see what the purpose of his discipline is to deal with us in such a specific way, we must submit ourselves to the Lord for that reason. It is only then that we accept the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
All right, praise the Lord. That was part 7 of receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And until I trust that all of you will remember this lesson and meditate upon it day and night, amen, as the Lord commands, and to pray to the Lord without ceasing, so that if there are problems in your life and you want them taken away, you'll want the Lord to surround you, encompass you with a hedge of the Holy Spirit and his angel, holy angels around you. All these people that just live according to their own way say, well, God's heavenly angels are around me. No, he might have let the devils around you. Amen? You just open up and you're surrounded by devils because you don't live according to what the reward of having the hedge of the Lord around you. So you've chosen, you love Satan. So he takes the hedge down and lets you have it. Okay? Here you love Satan so much, live with him. He'll throw you right in bed with him, he says. Amen? In the book of Revelation, he says, you go along with this teaching of Jezebel, this one that calls herself a prophetess sitting in the city of the seven hills, Rome. Well, then I'll throw you in a bed of affliction with her, okay? I'll take my hedge down from you and you'll be thrown in bed with her. Because you like to sin. You got a sin-loving heart. So keep these things in mind, and until chapter 20, 2 Samuel, and part 8 of receiving, not hearing about the discipline of the Holy Spirit, but receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit. This is Tony Alamo, your pastor, and if I'm not, I'd sure like to be everybody's pastor because I'm telling the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Saying, God bless you and praise the Lord.